tonight's VOD was really inspired by my trip to Eretz Yisrael. And as I told many people, this past week that I had the schus of spending Eretz Yisrael, the first time in a decade, or probably close to two decades, that I got to spend it as a bacher, you know, without any obligations, just to sit and learn and take care of some fellas. Okay, maybe that's a very big obligation. But, Lamaisa, I got to see so much of Eretz Yisrael and so many majorly inspiring things. And I hope as a Baal Mussar, I try to focus and see and analyze, you know, every situation in front of you in life. And I would like to depict a situation which I saw in Eretz Yisrael, which I think, and I'll explain soon, is not something which is unique to Eretz Yisrael, but just the magnitude of it, probably in Eretz Yisrael, or in this particular place, outweighed the magnitude of the situation in other places. Let me explain. It's my last day in Eretz Yisrael. I had a few moments. I was planning on taking off when the guys are doing a teal of lifta down some ancient ruins into some water. I said, okay, I need some last-minute shopping, quote-unquote. I took a taxi to the mirror. That's my last-minute shopping. But I took a taxi to the mirror. Originally, the plan was they were going to do this hike, this teal, like early in the afternoon. So great, so I figured I'll daven mincha at the mirror. Maybe try to see some long-lost friends of mine. Fortunately, switched. We didn't end up doing the teal till like 5, 6 o'clock. It's okay. I ended up at the mirror at 6 o'clock. As I approached the mirror at 6 o'clock, I see all of a sudden, I happened to be at the building of Beis Shalom. All of a sudden, I see tons of guys streaming downstairs. 6 o'clock, everybody was like dashing out. What's going on? Well, 6 o'clock is the time that Reb Usher begins his share. And I said, oh, that's what I got to do. I have to do some last-minute shopping, so let's go to the mirror. So I proceeded to follow all the guys downstairs. Reb Usher's shear, as you know it, is probably the biggest shear in the world, biggest shear of the yeshiva bachram in the world, which has 600, 700, 800, probably impossible to count, Talmidim listening to one shear. And it's a sight to see. I'm so very happy. To be honest, I never saw, maybe years ago I saw a little bit. Years ago it was much smaller. But to see an actual live share, I used to go to a private share from Reb Usher. But to see the official share that he gives in the mirror of 600, 700, 800 guys is mamish insane. There's a huge room which is filled up door to door. There, the staircases are totally blocked. Besides, you know, people listening here and there, it's almost a sight to see so many people excitingly trying to sit and share, you know, hear a share. I even decided to go for the jugular. I decided that I'm going to stand in the doorway. And, you know, somebody told me it might be sakana tefasha, so you're going to be trampled. And in that country, it's a real sakana. But I stood my ground. Some people might know who I was. They let me stay there. And actually, when Reb Usher walked into the room, he walked right past me, looked up at me. So it's cool. So that scene of a yeshiva, which could have 500, 600, 700 guys hocking, working on a share, it's a beautiful thing. Reb Usher actually seems to like sit up there on like a podium. You could see him. And it was an amazing thing to be part of such an such a huge segment of people who are motivated, working, and want to be in a share from a gadol, learning Torah from him. Amazing, amazing thing. But I must contrast. I also visited a few days earlier, on Thursday night, I visited another base manager of the mayor, Beis Yeshaya. I had a different feeling when I first walked into that building. Beis Shalom, I think, looks pretty similar to some of the older buildings of the mayor. Classic main building, called Kolchim. I remember all the different spots. I walked into Beis Yeshaya. I have never seen a yeshiva like that. My first reaction when I walked in is, am I walking into a wedding hall in Williamsburg? Am I walking into a hotel lounge? You open up the glass doors, full glass doors, and you walk into a sparkling lobby, marble floors. You know, I was waiting to see the bellhop, concierge. Where is it? Welcome to Hotel Mir. If you'd like to visit the rooms, they're on floors, I don't know, 1, 2. You'd like to visit the Bati Midrash, they're on 3 and 4. You can take an elevator up. I've never seen a building like that. Definitely not a yeshiva building. It almost looked like a hotel. And at the same time, for a lot of its inhabitants, I think it felt like a hotel. This was the hotel, the base, pun intended, for the guys in their excitement in Eretz Yisrael. And though, Baruch Hashem, there are people learning in both Batei Midrashim, not only the Batei Midrashim, but like the hallway right outside the base Medrash also has shtender, because every place is filled. And the biggest yeshiva in the world with over 8,000 guys, it's not, even with all their big buildings, not so much room to put them. But upon visiting that building, and later Thursday night, spending time around the area, I saw it the other day too, I've always heard about it. And maybe when I was younger, 20 years ago, I didn't fully see it, not to this extent. But there's a tremendous subculture around the mirror, in the mirror. A subculture of guys who are, quote-unquote, in yeshiva, quote-unquote, learning. I'm sure they were learning at some point in the day. But, you know, as I told Rabbi Sharfman, boy, could he give a rant over there. You know, okay, maybe it wasn't the colors of their shirts, but the amount of buttons open, shirts out of their pants, colored socks. But not the chitz, not those superficial things. But the fact that it looked like one big party. And especially you go around the stores and the restaurants and the hawks and the this. There's no question about it. There are tons, hundreds, believe me, of guys hanging out in the mirror. It's amazing. I'm not even talking. I didn't go through the diros where they're smoking hookah and this and that all day. Right? But to me, it was an einfall. Two pictures, one yeshiva. You could have guys rushing to the base medrash, rushing to the shir room to hear the Dvar Hashem coming out of the mouth of Rabbi Shariyim. At the same time, you could have a subculture. This is what we do. Thursday nights, we have to hit up this place for cholent and this and that. And you hear what the guys are hawking about, what's on their mind. This. I got a tour. I had appointments. I had lots of things. And you see, wow. Two cultures. A culture of learning, of steiging, of amelos, of only thing we care about in this world is Torah. And another culture where Torah is part of it. But you know what? There's a lot of extra things going on too. A lot going on. And a party. You know, what am I doing after Seder? Where are we hanging out? What's doing? Two cultures within one yeshiva. And I'm pointing this out, Avada, I'm not talking about guys, Chas Hashem, or going to Ben Yehuda Street, guys who are hanging out with the filth of Eretz Yisrael. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about any of those people. I'm talking about people who are just not fully involved in learning. And not only are they not fully involved in learning, but their whole essence, their whole being was, whoa, you know, where am I going to be Thursday night? Thursday night, the highlight wasn't Reb Nissen Kaplan's halacha share, but rather it's where we're going to hit up for cholent afterwards. That's the whole essence of life. And really, as I'm saying it over now, it violates actual pasuk in this week's lining, at least over here. Kedoshim Tiyu. What does Chazal say? That person should be careful not just in what's usher, but even Parash Atzmacha b'Mutalach. Even things which are mutter as a hechsher could also be bad. Right? We just come off Pesach ben Azmanim. You can have a 5-star hotel with chashav rabbanim speakers and things that. Everything, quote unquote, got kosher. But the Ramban, Rashi, the Rishonim will say, maybe it's not so got kosher. Where's the hasagas? Things could be mutter, quote unquote, mutter things. But if that's the whole essence, if that's what all we're excited about, if that's where we're headed, then the Ramban, Rashi, right, that's a violation of Kedoshim to you. And really the struggle, to a certain degree, exists probably in every yeshiva. And we're not exempt. There's a culture, which I think every yeshiva tries to inculcate, of hasmada. Hasmada meaning, in our definition, working in Ian, a kavias of Siddarim, the importance of Musar. Those are things which I think the Rebbeim work quite hard to push and inculcate within the yeshiva. But no matter how much that's pushed, me'irat yeshiva, that might be created a pushback, a subculture, another feeling of where guys could be involved in yeshiva, guys could be learning, but what do they wake up in the morning to do? And even, well, now again, we're not talking about Dvar Mesurim, Dvar Mutarim, but what's the tachlis of life? What am I excited about in yeshiva? Is it the Siddarim? Is it the Shmuzim, the Vadim? Or is it, you know, what am I doing Friday afternoon? What am I going to do during lunch? Who do I get to hang out with? But don't get me wrong. Of course, there are outlets and friendships are part and parcel of yeshiva. And without those, a person's lacking something. You need to have friendships. You need to have things to do. But this is a question of focus. What's the focus? What's the tachsam here? And, you know, a person comes to see yeshiva. You know, etzim of yeshiva is the learning. Well, on the side, okay, of course, there are outlets, there are things. You know, but I'd be quite nervous, the guy who wants to come to my yeshiva for the outlets and the time you spend off versus what the time you do in the base matters. Because you know what? If that's what he's coming for, it doesn't bode well for what might come from the next year about. And it's a shayla, a practical shayla. How do we deal with this? It's a struggle which everyone has to some degree. Some people more than others. But it's a real practical shayla. There are two forces. There's a culture and a subculture. There's the aspects of yeshiva, of steiging and growth, and other aspects of fun, involvement, and all these things. So I'd like to share with you a letter from Rav Akiva Eiger. An amazing letter, which is Tom Kul Musar. It says, Ata ben Adam, a person, a mensch, Tzeda hachinolcha, you should prepare food for the path. Terem yavol hashemesh v'yachshoch, before the sun sets. B'terem yich b'neircha, before your candle burns out. Tachan l'cha derech, prepare your way. Geder asher paratzel b'chayecha, the fences which you knocked over in your life. Terem mi'ha olam yotze'echa, before you go out of this world. Da'as l'kei avicha, know the God of your father. Beware of the days coming which you didn't want your whole life. You return to dust, to the ground, and just like dust and dirt you were in your life. And the place of total darkness you'll be led. They'll bring you up to the grave. Remember the day you went out of your land, your father's house. All your hard work will go to other people. And you won't be able to stop when these people take away all your possessions from you. Your inheritors will say, it's better your death than when you were alive. Thank God he got to the end of his days. People grew up in your house or forget you. Once a year, your family, your kids, remember your name. Or your brothers and your friends will betray you. And even a person's wife. Hey, why don't we remember the day that we'll wear white? And they cover you with black. A little straw to put underneath you. For all the hard work that you worked in your life. Near you, they'll put a little candle on your head. And by the door of your house, some people will pass. Around you, people will carry you. Basically, they'll put you into the pit. Finishing off, the person who's finished off. Pesach picha yimachusa veinecha, v'shivri chasar ma'panecha, describing what they do to a person when they put him in. Say the tia rama kamosecha, v'yushalok yimatzmosecha, all you can have left with all your bones. Kovecha v'ovecha yishavalu beisecha. Your friends and your relatives will return to their house. V'alta tishar sham levadecha. But you're going to remain there in the kever forever, alone. See this with your eye. And by seeing this, a person will do tshuva. Sham tashem mishpatecha, term kol yagicha. Sutsoda l'Hashem alkecha, give thanks to Hashem. Vaz tenuach v'teilcha v'etach b'derechecha. And then you go in safety on your way. Pashtus of this pretty intense letter from Rabbi Akiva Eiger is a chilling portrayal of life, but more than that, death. And it's not the type of thing that I normally read. But I would just like to focus on one step. Changing my tone. It's too morbid. But he makes a whole point of like knocking a person's family, his friends, even his wife. Like, isn't it pretty natural a person has friends, family, all that? Like, what's the point? Okay, you want to scare a person about death and this. You know, he says pretty rough lines that, you know, your kids who are Yorishu would say, oh, it's better that he's dead than alive. Thank God he came to such a day. People who you raised will forget you. Kol re'echa v'achicha yibagdubach. What in the world is Rabbi Akiva Eiger doing? I get the fact, you know, the other steps within this piece, where he's trying to portray, you know, death, the loneliness of death once it happens. But like, why does he have to throw in all these lines that all your friends, all your relatives, your family are going to betray you, this and that? So I think pshat is, that's what my notebook said, I think pshat is a very important yisod for life, which I think we'll get back to in a second, can help us as a practical etza with the dilemma which everyone faces, not just in Yeshiva's mirror. And the point I think he's trying to hit, which the Reshiva says in the Shmuz, I think Rabbi Harris says it in the Shmuz in the bottom from the Sefer Chovos Lavavos, is there's a very important feeling a person has to inculcate within himself. This feeling is a feeling, which we'll talk about, I think it's very important in terms of Asmada, but in terms of other things too, is at a certain point in life, a person has to be able, although a person is part of a big kehila, he has a support network, he has his family, he has his friends. But for a person to really grow and to achieve in life, to a certain degree, you have to cut the umbilical cord. You have to be able to be your own man, to do what's right, to stand up for what's right, to do what you want to do, and not just follow the crowd.
Even here in the subculture.
And that's part and parcel of what Rabbi Akiva Eiger is trying to portray over here. If a person really wants to be motivated to accomplish in life, a lot of times there are hang-ups. You know, there. Of course, a person has to provide for his family. A person has to help his family, do chesed with his family, help out his friends, be part of his friends. But when you measure everything in life, and a person wants to achieve and do something, part and parcel is you have to do it by yourself. You have to answer to yourself. It's your life. They're not burying you with your friends, hopefully in the cavern. They're burying you, all alone. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger, in this piece, the brilliant Rabbi Akiva Eiger, is trying ever so gently, maybe not, maybe a little more starker, but he's trying to separate a person from whatever's holding him back. You're not working, you're not steiging to achieve in life, your friends, your family, where are they going to be when you pass away? You know what? They might betray you. You're not going to be there with them anymore. In a different world than them. Rabbi Akiva Eiger is trying to draw a person to really live for himself and realize that in this life, it's all about yourself. Of course, you have supportive friends. Of course, friends in a chevra can help and support a person. But at the same time, sometimes it can hold a person back. And a person has to be able to cut the ties, to man up. Rabbi Harris says a similar point in Sefer Chovos Levavos, where one of the points of inspiring a person to achieve in life, fascinating idea, is that you should feel, you should envision yourself as if you're a ger, you're a stranger. Nobody knows you. It's easy, and especially due to our own human frail weaknesses, it's easy to feel comfortable when we have friends around, our network of support around us. But really, the Chovos Levavos himself says, for a person to accomplish in this world, you have to be a stranger. There's a certain feeling of focus that you have when you're a stranger, when you're all alone. Like we say in Tehillim, Habi Yamin Re'eh Ve'en Li Makir. You're a stranger. There's no one else there. It helps set a person straight, see what the focus in life. I remember years ago, I heard this is so in the Vat for Raya Lubin. I tell this over, you know, there are many times along the way I saw it, even as a little kid, I saw Raya Lubin's tremendous godless of how he understands people so well. I remember it was my first year learning in Eretz Yisrael, and Raya Lubin gave a Vat about Hasmada. And the point he spoke about Hasmada, I've heard in my life I've gone to many shmuzim and stuff outside of yeshiva. And I've heard many, many shmuzim about Hasmada. I don't think ever once in life that I ever hear somebody talk about the kochas nefesh of Hasmada like Rabbi Lubin did. There's a big impediment for anyone becoming a masmid. Big impediment for anyone sitting in the base medrash when no one else is there. Or when everyone else is there, but not learning to up to par to learn. And to put in your kochas. To work on shir when everyone else is not working on shir. To care about Mishnah Berurah Seder or Chafetz Chaim Seder for that matter, when no one else is. How do you do it? And Rabbi Lubin hit the point that a masmid is a really lonely world. The world of a masmid innately is a lonely world. And you have to accept that. You have to realize that. And I remember it was brilliant because I didn't even dehair. I was struggling with that. I was trying to, you know, become more of a masmid. And I didn't realize, when I heard the Vat, Taka, yeah, that's the thing I'm going through. You know, the simple step, you're a masmid, you want to learn a little extra, and guys are going out to do something. No, I'm going to stay in the base medrash. It's not an easy thing to do. There is a feeling of loneliness. Any one time a person skips out on something when his friends are doing, there's a feeling. But that's part and parcel of a person's own personal growth. Because, of course, we are grown together as a yeshiva. But a yeshiva is a bunch of yechidim. And a person has to be ready to make decisions which fit best for himself. Of course, with the eights of Rebbe and this and that. But it is a very, very important thing for a person to be able to make decisions by himself. The more a person is able to inculcate this idea, this yesod, of being alone, of being a yachid, but also yichud. Just me and myself. This is what I have to do. That helps a person fulfill his potential and do the right thing. It's not an easy thing. No way. Rabbi Akiva Eiger had to use major firepower to help bring that about on the person. Think about the fact, oh, where is this friend going to be? It's a true feeling. You know? Some of my guys were telling me, you know, of a certain friend who was very, very close to them, always spending time with them. And then something else came up. He's busy in life about something. And he no longer has any time to spend with them. It's an amazing thing. But that's, you know, friends, they're here today. Sometimes they could be gone tomorrow. Family, this. Of course, we enjoy the comfort. We enjoy the support of having friends. But at the same time, we have to realize that in life, we have to be able to do things alone. We have to do things which are right. And it's not just an element of hasmada and siddarim and effort and this. It hit me another step. It's true also about a person's hasagas as she'ifas. You know, everyone in yeshiva, you know, some point has to ask themselves, what am I going to do with my life? What do I want to be in life? If you just limit yourself to your circle of friends, to your family, to whatever pictures of where they want to go in life, you're limiting yourself. A person's hasagos, a person's she'ifos, your goals, your aspirations, have to be, obviously, kafi, what you're obeying, and you work out what you could accomplish. And you have to be able to put everyone else aside and try to climb that ladder to the best of your ability. And thus, this idea of being a yachid, but more, potentially, of being alone, to doing what is the right thing to do, is a very, very important step. Now, with many, just like many things, I think an important eitzah to help deal with this is, you are alone, but you're not alone. Obviously, you could have sometimes the help of a chaver who's also growing and also wants to grow in the same path. But most importantly, a person always has to feel the kesher, the means he could turn to a Rebbe, turn to somebody, help give him advice to bring him somewhere. But a lot of times, you know, a Rebbe could be proactive and help a person. A lot of times, a guy has to be proactive and look for that kesher and look to ask a shayla and look to grow and look to motivate himself. I'd like to just end with an amazing story about that idea of a Talmud coming to a Rebbe and being proactive and looking to grow, looking to steig. I discussed, as I told some people, I was by Rabbi David Cohn, Shlita, Rosh Shiva of Hebron. And he told me an amazing story about himself. David Cohn is most known for being a Shiva of one of the most prestigious yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, being the youngest member of the Moetzes Gedolei Torah of Eretz Yisrael. But he's also quite famous for his Svarim in Machshava, really hit the yeshiva world by storm. And he's looked upon as the person in the world of Machshava. I asked him how it started. He told me years ago he read the Pachad Yitzchak for Rav Huttner and was impressed with it. Okay. He said that when Rav Huttner came to Eretz Yisrael, he decided one day he wants to go visit him. So he took a couple of his friends and went to visit Rav Huttner. He knocked on his door. Rav Huttner answered. If you ever hear from Luban the stories of Rav Huttner, Rav Huttner had a lot of shittas about Kavanah Torah and a lot of means of how he portrayed himself. He had to be buzzed into his office, hat, jacket, you know, third person, the works. David Cohn, some Israeli bacher from Hebron, knocks on the door. asked, can I speak to you about Pachad Yitzchak? Avrintner went into the Stoltz and said, I'm sorry, you can't speak to me without an appointment. Whoops. Well, if it would have ended right there, I'm not sure. A lot of things in life might have been different. Avrintner decided to put aside the Stoltz and told him, once you came, I'll speak to you. And he sat down with him and a couple of his friends. And they started talking, Pachad Yitzchak, this, that. Avrintner was very impressed with them. He invited him back, and they made a Seder. Well, the Seder did pretty well for this young Reb David Cohn. Reb Avrintner ended up giving over to him the keys to understanding morals. He was impressed with this Bacher. He ended up becoming his Shadchan. Avrintner was the one who was Meshadach, actually, Reb David Cohn, with the daughter of one of his American Talmidim. Unless he was married to American. So he got a shidduch through that. But maybe even more so, he became probably the preeminent Talmud of Machshava in the world today. All from knocking on the door. Having a she'ifa, bakasha. He went with a couple of his friends. But reaching out, wanting to grow. Could be he was only a few guys in Chevron who want this sort of thing. But going after something you want, connecting yourself with the Rebbe, it could have a tremendous change and impact on a person's life. We should all be zocha to be able to stand on our own, but of course at the same time, to seek out and to look to grow and have a kesher with the Rebbe. Shkayach.